everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Grim Scenarios. I'm your host, Emma. With me here is my co-host, Milk, and our special guest this week, Kohava. How's it going, Kohav?
I'm good. Yay. Hi.
Yay. Well, this week we're going to talk about a character that is near and dear to all of our hearts. I know we all have a lot of love for the Pixie. Hooray!
Yes.
It's Teddy Bear time.
The best character in the game of Blood on the Clock Tower.
It's a truly wonderful character. And I should say its ability.
Yes.
Its ability is you start knowing one in-play townsfolk. If you were mad you were this character, you gain their ability when they die. And their flavor text is, round and round the garden go, little girls run to and fro, little boys climb up the tree, which of these should Pixie be? Ladies smile and go to town, lords with axe chop the forest down, what's yours is mine, what's mine divine, silly little Pixie me.
That's a cute little poem.
It is.
So, I guess, you know, the starting point is, what do you all think of the Pixie? I think we all love it, so just some kind of, what do we generally kind of, from the start, you know, it's a madness character. You know, where do we start with Pixie?
Well, Pixie is great from a character that's super fun to play perspective, a character that's super fun to bluff perspective, and from a game design perspective. So it hits it hits all my boxes for me. It encourages good players to lie, which is characters that make the game more interesting. And it's adorable.
I like his little winky face.
Pixie is, I think, it really hits all the notes for me of a townsfolk that is a little bit helpful most of the time, but not too helpful most of the time, and sometimes detrimental. And also there's lots of different things you can do with it. So I think it hits all the buttons for a character I really like.
Yeah, there's a ton of player agency, right? Like, when you get the Pixie token, you really have a lot of ways you can think about how you want to approach the madness aspect, how you want to approach the confirmation aspect, what you're kind of looking to do with the character is you have a lot of space, right? You kind of have a playground of space to mess with.
And usually we only talk about this in regards to evil characters and some outsiders, but I do think Pixie changes the way you play the game just by being on the script as well. It just makes double claims less executable by virtue of existing on a script, which is just a nice effect to have on games, I think, too.
Yeah, I think that's really insightful. You know, double claims when you first start out in Clock Tower, especially when you're on, you know, Trouble Brewing, for example. Double claims usually means somebody's evil or there's some kind of shenanigans going on. But when a Pixie's on the script, it kind of makes everybody ease up on that question. And from a design perspective, I agree. It kind of like makes a little bit of breathing room for evil. But the value in Pixie, especially if they get their ability, can be quite high. Having that insurance policy, having that person that the evil team's not sure which of two people has a particular ability, I think that's really interesting and strong. And again, it sort of develops out of a play pattern that we see on, again, Trouble Brewing with, you know, newer players, where you pull the Ravenkeeper token and claim to be a different role. The Pixie kind of encourages that same play pattern.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say it's stronger for evil to have double claims be executed less, because there are valid reasons for good players to get into double claims, especially on higher level scripts. And so I feel like Pixie is an introduction to double claims aren't always evil theory, which is good for good players to know too.
Also good.
Yeah, especially in like online games, less so in person, but in online games where evil can normally share their bluffs pretty efficiently, I almost always read double claiming as good. What's something good players do, not something evil players do. And the Pixie just enforces that.
On scripts with Pixie and sometimes Pixie's favorite minion, Saranovis, you just should execute anyone who's not in a double claim because they're probably the demon, is one honestly valid way to play. And then, you know, evil can fight that by having the demon get Saramad and get into double claims, but it's always a cycle, right? Yeah.
And it's a real fun balancing act. So, should we talk a little bit about how you can play as the pixie, what you can do, the choices you can make, the options you can have?
Yeah.
Do you want to take on the like
Well,
most basic approach first? The try to get the ability approach?
I think that depends. A lot of pixie actually depends on what token you see, too.
Fair point.
Yeah,
Like,
I would agree
whether
with
or
that.
not I'm trying to get my person killed depends on what ability I might get, as well, or how hard I'm trying to get my person killed. Because with some roles, it's really important to get two uses of the ability. And for some roles, it doesn't really matter which of you is alive as long as the ability is in the game.
Yeah. For like
So.
anything that has sort of like confirmation, those tend to be one-off, and if you can double up the confirmation through a fixie, it tends to go really well for the good team. But you do have to be a little careful, both you and your person, because if it's clear you're executing the player to get the second ability, and both of you are bought into this, I'm not actually sure you're getting the second ability. Because at that point, you're kind of coming close to claiming Pixie.
Oh,
Yeah.
I mean, Pixie Madness we have to talk about too, definitely, but let's maybe put a pin in that.
Sure. We can
Yeah.
bring that up later.
There are ways you can try to get somebody killed, and one of them is just framing them as evil,
Yeah,
and just going
absolutely.
hard at them. And Pixies are encouraged to do that. If they really want to get the ability, they can just go hard on framing so the player they think has their ability as evil.
Oh, yeah.
Now, hopefully you kill the right person, but let's assume for now that you know who has your ability and so you know who to kill properly. Like also not just with confirmation rolls, but also stronger once per game abilities. I think it's worth killing
Oh, yeah.
your person you're mad as, like Shugenja, Noble, Seamstress, artist. I'd try to get off two artist questions almost always. But sometimes, like if you're the pixie fortune teller, it doesn't really matter if you're alive or if the fortune teller is alive. So you don't actually have to try to get them killed. Now you're just insurance so that there
Yeah.
will always be a fortune teller ability in the game.
And there it
Yeah.
may actually be to your team's disadvantage to kill the fortune teller in a way, because it might allow the storyteller to move the red herring. Because you're now a new instance of the fortune teller, and the red herring could go in a different place. I think
The other,
Balloonist is in that
yeah.
same bucket. Sorry, Emma.
The other thing with the recurring MMOs like Fortune Teller, which you want to preserve the ability. Like, if you push on your fortune teller too hard and they get executed, the demon can just kill you that night, right? Like, it's much better for preserving the fortune teller ability if you both die at night and the demon doesn't know which one of you to kill first, and it also doesn't matter which one of they kill first.
Yeah. So for things like fortune teller, you could try to be giving out the exact same information as your friend. If the storyteller catches on, that might not work out for you. Or similar information as the person you believe to be the fortune teller. Or for example, one character that popped out to me was Bounty Hunter. You should definitely be trying to get the same person killed, or even not be claiming Bounty Hunter at all. So that's the second way to play Pixie, which would be to just be a bad washerwoman, basically. That's what I call it in my brain. This is where you come out as the Pixie and say that there's a character in the game.
Yeah, I like that with roles. I've been occasionally shown like Pixie Soldier or Pixie Mare, where I'm like, one, don't really care about doubling this up. Two, I will never know if I've successfully doubled this up, which makes having it with the doubled ability a little silly. And I just want to protect this person who already has the ability. And I can do that in several ways. I can either say, hey, there's a soldier in this game. I know because I'm the pixie. I cannot say that. And if people try to execute the soldier, I can be like, we're not killing them. I'm their pixie. There's lots of roles I think that fall into that category where your sort of default option should be crappy washer, whatever we want to call it.
Yeah, I mean, so it sounds like there's maybe like a couple of different like categories of these, right? There's things you definitely want to get a second shot at, which and our exemplar script here is Boozling, and it's got things like Slayer and Fisherman, Noble, things that maybe you want another crack at pretty quickly. So in that case, you know, try to get your pixie friend Matt killed. Then there's recurring information where maybe you're more useful to be a insurance policy, or where the continuity of information is more important than you getting the ability yourself, right? So that's something like fortune teller, oracle, maybe a balloonist,
Savant on the
savant,
script.
yeah. And that the subcategory that probably includes like balloonist and savant is where it's really better for one person to just get all of the information than splitting it across the insurance policy, where you'd almost prefer not to cash in the insurance, so to speak. And then the third is where you're kind of crappy washerwoman. You're confirming that a role is in play, and you know you could do other stuff with that if there are other confirmation roles, you know, available. You know, if you could, you know, you could bluff savant and just say, "Oh, one of the savant statements is the soldier isn't like." You could do other stuff. You don't even have to claim the role. You're not even trying to get the role, but you're acting in good faith to try to keep that player alive.
Yeah. And then also there's a few tokens I want to call out specifically that if you get them, well, just one, if you get Pixie Snake Charmer, you should be really careful about what you do, because if you Snake Charm the demon, they will see Pixie and you will have been claiming Snake Charmer all game. So just like heads up, it seems really fun, but it might be a bad idea if you think two steps ahead.
It is very funny, though, which is worth something.
Yes, it's really funny. So, live your best life, but just a warning. I've just seen Pixie Snake Charmers get two-thirds of the way to a plan, succeed at that plan, and then realize what they've done.
Yeah. It does give cover for the real Snake Charmer to get away with it because they'll execute you instead. Don't know if that's
Yeah,
in your
so that.
interest as the Pixie Snake Charmer.
No,
But
you're actively in direct competition with the real Snake Charmer.
it does let them do that. I think there's also stuff like Flower Girl or Town Crier, where you could go either way on whether you want to duplicate those abilities or keep them around. But it's a lot of work to keep those abilities active. Like the knight, the transition knight is going to be extremely difficult unless you've already been doing all the Flower Girl and Town Crier
You
work.
should be tracking that information if you're the pixie, not just for yourself in case you turn, but also to help out the person who you know is in the game. You should just be tracking that information if you're the pixie flower girl or town crier, just because someone needs that information
I
eventually, whether it
suppose.
is you or your friend.
The
Or you
ideal.
could just say, I'm not doing this and move on with your life.
The
You
ideal is
could,
that
you could.
there's always one person, like one good player tracking it, because if it's a bluff, evil can lie about the information, right? So like if you're the pixie and you have one of those roles, maybe that's just your job now. You know, maybe your job now is just to be the stenographer for the court.
Because you know what? The Flower Girl, they'll remember their information, but they might not remember who voted. You're not getting any information, so you can use all of your brain on remembering who voted.
Or none of it.
Think
It's up
about
to
it
you.
that way. Or none of it. Yeah. I mean, Flower Girl, it has its own issues off its home script, I think so.
Yes. It's a very Murdoch's offending character, which. Well, anyway, back to the fixing.
Back to the yeah, so you can try to get your person executed, you can try to be their friend, you can and claim their role as an insurance policy, you can come out as a washerwoman. Yeah, and then I guess there's the madness aspect. I think maybe it's time to get into that.
Yeah.
So how do you successfully be mad as an in-play character?
Well, you have to be very careful, because madness is an art, not a science. There's no magic words you can say to be mad, and there's no magic words you can say to not be mad. In some cases, I like consider you being more mad if you're be if you're like, oh yeah, I'm the pixie, they're the flower girl, than if you insist that you're the flower girl and they're the pixie. It really depends on the general tenor of the conversation. The trick with Pixie is because a lot of what you're trying to do is you're both trying to duplicate something, but frequently also trying to protect someone. And that's where I think the gray line with Pixie can really come up. It's how much, wink, wink, I actually don't want this person to die, is itself breaking madness.
Yes. Yeah. As a storyteller, if two people are claiming the same role, but they're not nominating and not voting for each other, that's suspicious to me because there can only be one of each role in the bag.
If they're just both agreeing they're good and one of them is the pixie, I'm not sure the pixie's complying with madness.
Yeah.
It's similar to like Harpy, where you don't necessarily have to vote or nominate your Harpy person every day, but you have to be throwing some shade at them in some way.
And I will say this is for an experienced group. For like a beginner group that's just learning Pixie, if the two people can find each other and trust each other, then I'm proud of them. That's all you need to... And they're both claiming like whatever they're mad as, and the Pixie isn't claiming Pixie, and the other player trusts who the Pixie is, they're going to get their ability because that's a win for figuring out how to play Pixie. But this is for like, once you played with Pixie for a bit, if the you and whoever you're, who, let's say you're Pixie Fortune Teller for ease of example, if you and the Fortune Teller are both claiming Fortune Teller, giving out the same Fortune Teller info and just acting as a happy team, that is a bit of a problem.
Yeah. I'm for experienced players, I'm probably never giving the Pixie Fortune Teller their ability at that point. Unless they're doing some really good work to convince the entire town that the other player is the Pixie and they're the real Fortune Teller.
Yeah, I think I agree with pretty much all of that. I also think that it's really important to me, and I kind of apply this to most of the madness-related characters, that the player who is mad isn't pointing at their madness effect being in play. I think it's really crucial to me that the person who is holding the Pixie token doesn't just sort of say, oh, well, that person's probably my Pixie, right? In fact, ideally, I would like them to think that there's a Pixie elsewhere or not say the word Pixie at all. I just think it doesn't make a whole... I think putting the idea of Pixie into the town where you have like two people and one's the Pixie and they're going, oh, I think the other guy's my Pixie. I don't think that holds water as complying with madness enough to get the ability. If you want to get the ability, you shouldn't think that there's a Pixie in play. Or you can start out in the beginning of the game saying, oh, maybe they're a Pixie, but then you need to become more suspicious of them as time goes on. I just think that that's like... I think that's a very common thing that you see where two people are like, oh, I'm the Pixie and you're the thing I'm mad about. And they just kind of go, they just kind of reverse it. Yeah, they do the washerwoman grandmother thing where they like say they're the other one. And that doesn't hold water for me. That doesn't get there for me. I expect some confrontation.
Yeah, I expect anyone who's mad in my game as anything to be actively convincing people that that is your role. There's a guide on madness as the Pixie by the game designer, which you all should read if you haven't read it. I slightly disagree with only one point, which is the guide uses several meters for tracking madness, but it includes whether people believe you. And that's not something I personally care about as a storyteller, but I care about whether you're trying your best. And calling the other person a pixie or bringing up pixie is a sign that you're not trying your best to me, because you're introducing the idea of pixie into people's brains. But if everybody, if you've been dreamed as the pixie and then some other character checked you and saw pixie and everyone else knows you're the pixie, that's fine, as long as you can still get your ability, as long as you're trying your best to convince everyone that they're wrong and you need to be building those worlds.
Yeah.
And that's what I need to see.
I would say on the question of whether other players believe you, it's certainly not necessary. It's not even really directly related. But it's frequently indicative of how well you're doing madness.
That's true.
If everyone is believing you, you're probably doing a pretty good job of being mad. If everyone's sort of looking and going, okay, Pixie, you probably need to change your tactics up. So it's not like directly whether you're trying your best, but it's sort of like indirectly like a feedback where if no one believes you, you have to try something new, or what you're doing probably isn't working anymore.
I think it has to be believable, not believed, is a maybe a way of thinking about it, right?
Yeah, and also, if everyone's like, I know you're either the pixie or the fortune teller, that still isn't being bad as the fortune teller. That's being bad as one of two roles. So.
Gosh, no, this comes up with like Serenoa is even on SMD where people are like, well, if I was the dreamer, I wouldn't claim to be the dreamer. I'd claim to be the sage. So therefore, claiming to be the sage is being mad as the dreamer. I'm like, no, it's not.
Like five roles would claim to be the sage, so nobody thinks you're necessarily the dreamer. Yeah.
I think something that also comes out of that Stephen Medway commentary, which is very interesting, is that Pixie Madness seems to be recoverable. That is to say, if you aren't mad about it ever, unlike Mutant, which is sort of going to explode on the spot, or Serenovus, we're going to, explode on the spot, it seems like Pixie Madness is recoverable in that if you aren't enough mad to convince, to be convincing or believable one day, and you can kind of go and talk to the storyteller and say, hey, I'm trying to be mad as this role. What can I do to be more convincing? Or what can I do to be, doing madness better? You might be able to later in the game, find a way to recover it. I don't think that covers for you just going, hey, everybody, I'm the pixie, but I'm going to try to convince you later that I'm not the pixie, right? It doesn't cover that. But if you're
But
not
if you
quite
do
there.
something like you say you're the pixie fortune teller, because we're using that example, and the steward is also in script, and day you one you spend the day, or Raven Keeper, and you day one you spend the day claiming Raven Keeper. Day two you start privately telling some people you're actually the fortune teller, trying to avoid a demon kill. Day three you come out publicly as the fortune teller and share your information. If the real fortune teller is still alive at that point, this can be a believable course of madness, because it's plausible that this is how you're the fortune teller, and at the point decision point, you're mad as the fortune teller. The risk of that is, of course, you try this strategy and night two the fortune teller dies. Well, I'm sorry, you were being mad as the Raven Keeper at that time. No ability for you.
It's much more believable madness if you do that in a sense, right? But it's much riskier for you as a choice, as the pixie player.
Yeah, I think what the guide basically said, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that it looks back on the entire game up to when the pixie will gain their ability, with a slight preference for the more recent things. So the yesterday matters most when you're deciding whether or not the pixie's cutting it. And yeah, you have to be careful because your player that you're going to inherit the ability of could die at any time. So, my advice would be to be mad as the role the whole time and just do a good job.
Yeah, that's certainly the easiest path. That's certainly the easiest path to getting it. You can try more difficult paths. They are riskier.
And I think it's important that we mention those riskier paths because even though we're not specifically talking about storytelling for the pixie yet, storytellers might listen to this and think, oh, some of these recommendations, I wouldn't give the madness, right? You should give the madness if the narrative that the pixie creates about what they are makes sense. It makes sense for a pixie fortune teller to claim Raven Keeper on the first day, then start telling people, actually, I'm the fortune teller, and then come out on the third day. And if they want to take that risk and the fortune teller dies after that point, you should give the ability.
And in this vein, if you are the pixie and you're selected by the Serenovus to be mad about something, it's recoverable.
Don't give
You
up.
can be mad about that thing for one day and then make a believable reason, or even say that you were Seramad yesterday. If you can ever become not Seramad, you can still recover your pixie ability and still get the role.
And it
So
might be
don't
more
give up.
believable at that point where you're like, hey, everybody, I was Serenovus mad yesterday. I told everybody on day one I was the Raven Keeper. I'm actually the fortune teller, and I was Serenovus mad, and here's my information. Like, it's
It
very
could end up
recoverable.
working out for you. You just have to protect your person and kill the Serenovus. Your priorities shift a little bit.
That's right.
Now the Serenovus must die immediately.
So yeah, we do see Pixie paired with Serenovus and Mutant a lot. I think having a lot of madness rolls together, it just makes games a little bit more chaotic and fun. I you know, it's always interesting to kind of see how those three interact.
Yeah, I do think they all sort of are friends in a way. They're the townsfolk, the outsider, and the minion that are quintessential madness characters. Harpies, whatever.
Harpy's the
So
new one.
it's a little different.
It's a little difficult, different, a little less quintessential because Pixie and Mutant and Serenovus have been around so long. Where
Yeah.
Harpy's only
Pixie
like.
was the new kid on the block, but everybody loved Pixie when it moved in, and then Harpy moved in, and they were like, I don't know about this one. Yeah, another thing I will say about playing as the Pixie is per I this is just a me experience. It might not be true for anybody else, but I always get anxious when I'm a good player and I'm lying. I don't get as anxious when I'm evil and I'm lying because I'm supposed to be doing that. But sometimes when I'm a good player and I'm lying so that people don't know what I am or so that I can become better at playing evil by being known to lie as good, whatever the reasons, I get more worried when I'm lying as good than evil because I feel like I'm doing a bad thing to my team. But playing as the Pixie is sort of like permission to lie. And so it gives you a sort of practice at lying as a good player, and you should embrace that because sometimes you're gonna have to lie as a good player and not feel guilty about it. And so Pixie is sort of like an introduction to a very good reason to lie when you're a good player. And you should take that and bring it into other games you play as a good player because there are other very good reasons to lie as a good player, even though you're not the Pixie. So remember how it feels. That's
Yeah,
all.
I do think Pixie is really great for that aspect, of teaching you that it's okay to lie is good. If the other things in Clock Tower did that try to incentivize that, from Raven Keeper to Mutant to my personal theory,
Monk,
Monk should be frequently
yeah.
be lying.
Good, interesting take.
Well, it's because, like, if you're the monk and you can trick the demon into framing you.
Here we go.
And then you save the player they need to kill going into final three. It's real embarrassing for the demon.
That's fair. Yes. If they need to take you to the end of the game, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. But like Pixie, like if you aren't comfortable with lying, like Pixie gives you permission to indulge in that, and you can see that, and you can start to see the benefits of what confusing the evil team can do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, let's say you're the Pixie fortune teller. There's a real fortune teller. Town trusts you. They don't trust the other fortune teller. The demon's like an oho, and they try to kill the fortune teller. All right, they killed the suspicious fortune teller. They kept the not suspicious fortune teller alive. You get a yes on them, and it's great for town.
I mean, even if it's not an oho, if the imp kills you die, the fortune teller's still getting info, you come out as the pixie, you save their trust levels, they go back to being fully trusted because you died at night and confirmed them, and the town's now got 4 days of trustworthy fortune
Fortune
teller
teller.
info.
Yeah,
I
like,
don't know why I said.
well, it doesn't matter. Any of these characters with recurring in,
Yeah.
like, yeah, like the
Either
ability to trick the
way,
evil team.
it works out. If the evil team kills the fortune teller or you, either way, it's good for the good team.
Yeah, and the
Yeah.
stakes are very low for you as the pixie, right? What's the worst thing that happens? You get killed and you're confirming the person who has the actual ability. Like, because you're the insurance policy, it's not even bad if you don't get the ability. Like, you're just doing the other thing. And like, if your fallback is I confirm a good player, that's a really good fallback.
Yeah, you always get to do something. Even if you die knight two, you've done something in the game, which is a nice feeling to have. Yeah.
Yeah, like, what was I in? Oh, right, I was gonna say, should we transition a little to talking about blocking as the Fixie?
I was hoping we
What
would,
to do with
yes.
it? More, I think more accurately for the Fixie, what to do when you get a Buffy, a Pixie bluff, not a Bluffy Pix. That would be weird.
We definitely talk about this, but we should also talk about being evil when Pixie's on the script because it enables a whole new realm of
Oh,
bluffing
yeah.
in general.
The Pixie being on the script gives you freedom as a minion to just claim whatever you want to.
Yeah.
You never need to rush to your demon to get a bluff.
Nope.
But with Pixie on the script, you need, even if you're like worried about needing a bluff, you can always just say whatever you want. And either it's in play and you can look like a Pixie, or they can look like a Pixie, whatever. Or it's not in play and you have a safe bluff.
I think the package of Pixie, Mutant, and Serenovus together really gives you permission to just claim what the heck ever on day one as an evil player. Pixie empowers it. Serenovus empowers it in a different way. Mutant empowers it a different way. And people often forget stuff that happened on day one in games. Like by the end of the mid to end game, people kind of forgotten that you were in a double claim. You know, if you can fall into a double claim and be the Pixie because it's a bluff, that's great. If not, maybe you're making a good player look suspicious. You know, there's a lot that's advantaged by minions getting into double claims. And Pixie sort of gives the evil team permission to just get in there and claim powerful roles. You know, if I see Pixie on a script and I'm evil, I'm probably just going to claim one of the ongoing recurring information roles and see if I can make that person look evil or get in a double claim with them. I'll survive a little while because of Pixie. If no other Pixie comes out, I could just be like, oh yeah, I was the Pixie if I get killed. You know, there's a lot you can do with
but
it.
But you can do it in a way such that you take them down with you and you come out as Pixie after you're both dead. And you're like, oh, oops.
Yeah.
I guess we killed two good players.
Or get the ability, you know, wake up, claim to have gotten the ability, give out bad info, and then get executed, you know, which is all fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Pixie's just awesome. When you're evil and it's on the script, do whatever you want. No consequences. You heard it first.
And I wonder if you, that includes when you have it as a bluff as the demon. If you want to take the Pixie
bluff.
When
you have it as a bluff, it's even better.
Like, this is, like, think of it as a wild card bluff, not like I have to go around looking for my Pixie partner. I've seen people think they have to do that, and I'm like, why would you have to do that? Just use the wild card bluff as a wild card. Bluff what you watch. You have Pixie as the fallback option for the double claim.
Exactly. It's basically saying, pick your favorite character to bluff as on this script, bluff as that character, and as long as it's a townsfolk, back down to Pixie if you need to back down. If your favorite character to bluff as is an outsider, it's a little worse, so you have to pick your favorite townsfolk. But that still gives you a lot of great options, and then no consequences again. However, you do have to be careful that the good player that you think is in a double claim with you is actually in a double claim with you and not just bluffing, because you don't want to back into Pixie if you're not confirming anybody. So just don't get tricked.
And if you do want to make an outsider bluff, you know, in the long run in the game, there's lots of outsiders who might get in double claims anyway. And so it's sort of fine to be in. It's sort of fine if you were going for a Pixie bluff and then like the demon says, oh no, I'm doing a Pixie bluff. You can't have Pixie bluff. And you've been claiming to be the fortune teller or the oracle or whatever. And then you have to back into what you're backing into is an outsider bluff. All the hidden outsiders, mutant damsel, right?
If there's a Fangoo.
If it's Fangoo's on the script, that gives you license to have been lying as an outsider. If you're if you have on the script like any of the dyes, like effect caused by dying at night, outsiders, sweetheart, plague doctor, anything that would want to hide their role, it's perfectly fine to just drop that Pixie bluff. Maybe a Pixie comes out and you're like, oh yeah, actually I was the whatever, you know. And it's like you can kind of get away with a lot, and Pixie empowers you to start in a position of testing double claims, testing, claiming whatever role you want, and then fall back into other things. And it looks at least less suspicious. And if you're a minion, what do you care if you look suspicious anyway most of the time, right? You just don't want to be suspicious to
minion.
Yeah.
What about, so I'll ask this one because I think this is one that's very tricky. What about Pixie confirming your demon? What about taking a Pixie bluff when you're a minion, and Pixie bluffing that you have that you're mad as the role that the demon is claiming, or maybe the reverse too? But I'm interested in the minion to demon one first. I think the demon to minion one is more stable in some ways.
Oh.
This is a viable strategy.
It's whenever you're confirming interior to your evil team, I think this is a high risk, high reward strategy. If it works out, beautiful, great. The confirmation will be trusted at some point, and you'll win. Point blank. Like, if you could do a successful confirmation of your demon that isn't sussed out, you guys win. No one's ever going to execute your demon. But the counterbalance is the good team has a lot of ways to find, especially minions. So if you're trying to pixie confirm your demon as a bluff, and they find out you're evil, well, then they're going to start looking at the player you're confirming and why you're protecting them.
I think it works in interesting ways with things like Imp, which can star pass to
Yes, I
simulate
was
having died
just
and
going to
passed the
say.
role. Yeah.
Imp and Vigor
Scarlet
Mortis
Woman, Vigor. Yeah.
love
Go ahead,
are
go ahead.
prefer confirmation pairings, definitely. But evil has to bluff this stuff because you need to be able to be suspicious of good players that this is happening to. So you need to bluff this sometimes when you're evil so that you can say that other people are bluffing it when you're good, like when you're evil and you're trying to frame people as well. I think you got to make sure your stories are straight. And yeah, it does matter, like, which one of you is the pixie and which one of you is the real role. But also, until you're dead, you don't have to say which one of you is the pixie and which one of you is the real role. So you can switch it up based on who dies first, or if one of you is more trusted, you can put the confirmation on them. Whatever, like, be flexible in this pairing.
I will
Another
say,
thing, oh
yeah.
sorry, I'm
No,
talking so.
don't worry. I will also say, like, if you're in like a double claim with your demon as like a pixie bluff and you don't have something like a Scarlet Woman and town is about to execute your demon, you should probably break pixie madness at that point and say, wait, we should please don't kill them. I'm their pixie. I'm confirming them. I know you trust me more, but let's kill an evil player instead. Do something
Or
like
just
that.
let's kill me instead of them, because like I'm their pixie or whatever, and I want them to have continuous information.
Yeah, and I think especially, and it sort of applies to sort of all the evil internal confirmation kind of abilities. But I think especially with Pixie because it's so flexible, if in your group, if in the group that you play with mostly, your local group or your online group, if people aren't making bluffs like this, and you're on the evil team and the group isn't used to this bluff, try this bluff. It will pay off. People will believe it. They won't believe it once you've done it two or three times, but they will believe it the first time. And you might pull this off, and it's really fun when it works. Like being able to sort of be so flexible about which of you is the actual role, which of you can die first. It's really fun with a Scarlet Woman demon pair. Like there's a lot of value in this specific sort of pixie confirming whatever bluff. I also think pixies are more believable to be bluffing a lot or to be confirming a lot of different roles. I think washerwomen, there's kind of things that washerwomen see and don't see. I think grandmothers, there's things that they see and don't see. I think pixie, a lot of times, and this is just kind of, me thinking about metas and,
No,
what I
I
think
think you're
about.
right here.
Yeah. Pixies can see a lot of different things. I'm much less worried about, washerwoman confirming or a pixie confirming a fortune teller than I am about washerwoman confirming a fortune teller or something. I don't know if that's like necessarily true, but I think there are roles that I'm more comfortable pixie confirming than washerwoman confirming.
Yeah, I'm not gonna washerwoman confirm a bounty hunter, but I
Yeah.
might show the pixie a bounty hunter, you know? And it's
Though.
rare that I'll washerwoman confirm a mare, but I might show a pixie a mare.
Yeah. Though I will say most pixie bounty hunters I've ever seen are frequently evil pixie bounty hunters.
That does seem to happen a lot, yeah.
That's
Storytellers
funny.
just can't
Yes,
get
do
off
that.
the pointing at each other aspect of it because it's funny stuff.
I would say when you're doing, because I just want to get this in because I feel like we're going to change topics. When you're doing the two evil players backing each other up, you have to sell that bluff, you have to go at each other. on the first couple of days of the game. And like, you have to really go for it. And that is what will make people think that you are not evil together, that you are good together, and you are naturally figuring it out. If you have a conversation on day one, come back to town and be like, we're both the fortune teller, we trust each other, it's all good. People will be like, how did you figure that out so fast? Like, naturally, there is a period of pixie and roll going at each other for a little bit of the game before they might come to trusting each other or one of them dies. So you do have to fight with each other to sell this bluff, which is something you should do anyways when you're evil and be okay with fighting with each other in general, but just an important point there.
It's highly undervalued, I think, as a skill in evil teams, is knowing when you really do need to push on each other, knowing when to vote on each other, knowing when someone's able to be sacrificed for the good of the evil team. And I think this bluff does kind of enable a lot of exploring that space. As a, I think, as you've really, really well pointed out, Koav, like, as a teaching tool, like, this is a role that's a great learning tool for doing a lot of different things, both if you have the role and if you have the role as the bluff and if the role's just on the script. There's a lot of value.
So yeah. I was just looking through the notes we have. One question I have is what do you guys think about either as a bluff or actually playing it? Secret breaking of Pixie Madness when you know the storyteller can't hear.
Wow, loaded question.
An officially recommended strategy,
An
I might
officially
say.
recommended strategy.
Right. Well, let's start off with let's go way back. When you're playing a game of Blood on the Clock Tower with a group of people, you're entering into a social contract with them. Whether you know this or not, and some of the social contract is geographically dependent. And there are certain like social norms that change based on the region of the world you're playing or your generation, like how old or young you are. If you're playing with a group of younger people versus older people, there are going to be different social norms in your gaming space that will translate to your game of Blood on the Clock Tower. So whether or not you can break Mandis in secret and have it be okay or not is totally like group meta dependent. Like me personally, I could answer the question with my opinion and I will, but I also think if I was in a different space with a different norm, it would be a different answer because there are groups where this is a total taboo and against the spirit of the game they're playing. And there are groups where it's part of the game to hide information from the storyteller, and it makes the game more fun and interesting. And it's a test, like, will the player I'm talking to tell on me to the storyteller or not? That tells me about them. So personally, I think I would play Madness in the spirit of the game. When I'm playing Pixie, I'm not going to secretly tell anyone I'm the Pixie. But because I'm only human, I might hint that I'm the Pixie to someone. Just like do a ma subtly break Madness, whether the storyteller's around or not. Because I have done this, so I'm just going to be honest. So I re specifically remember a game where like I was the Pixie Cannibal and Milk had just been executed, and I came up to Milk and went, I am the cannibal, and I didn't wake up last night. And I was basically saying I was the pixie, but like, I didn't say that I was the pixie. And if a storyteller had been in that conversation and had been like, you're breaking Madness in this
Yeah,
conversation,
fair
you
enough.
don't get the ability, I'd have been like, that's understandable. Have a nice day.
I certainly agree with you that it's to some extent group dependent. It's somewhat storyteller dependent because I take great delight in trying to out Madness behind Emma's back at every possible turn, due to it being a highly recommended strategy in the in the rules of the game. That said, I do think it's. I think of it more tactically in terms of that, because I do think a lot about the if I out pixie to this person, I don't really care if I get the ability or not if I choose to do that. If I out pixie to this person and I think that they went and told the storyteller that I told them I was the pixie. That is a test that I can use against them. And it is a fair social play. I think it's a fair social play. But yeah, I'll out being mad behind the storyteller's back sometimes. It is somewhat group dependent. Most of the time I'll comply with madness, but every once in a while it's just a bit of fun to just say, "Ah, yeah, you know what? I'm the pixie. Don't tell anybody. You know, whatever." I do think it makes it harder to be the pixie naturally in town square, though. If you've gone around and told people behind the storyteller's back that you're the pixie, I think people do respond to you differently, and the storyteller can sense that and can get an idea that it's happening. And so I don't think it's, if you want to get your ability, don't out that you're the pixie generally, because I don't think it advantages you to do that. If you want that ability, do the things that are necessary to get to the ability. Don't try to hide, you know, only be willing to say that if you're willing to lose the chance at the ability.
I think that's my agreement, which is like, regardless of whether it's in the steer to the game rules or not, it is on the wiki for all the madness rolls, which is weird.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to privately break madness, you should assume madness has been broken and not be upset if a consequence happens.
Agreed.
If you are going to privately break madness to one person when you're the pixie, it should be the person you're mad as.
Yeah.
I recently was storytelling a game on our stream where a player broke madness in private to another player, and I, the storyteller, walked in on that conversation and heard the words "am the mutant," and that is certainly always getting punished regardless. So I do think like if you get caught, just cop to it to some extent. Like, you know, the storyteller got you. Don't complain about it. They caught you. It is what it is.
I would also say there's, like, unlike with Mutant or Serenova's madness, where, like, only evil really has an incentive to go to the story and storyteller and rat you out, the good players might have an incentive to go to the storyteller and rat you out for breaking pixie madness, especially if you're bluffing pixie, because if you're bluffing pixie, and then you claim to gain the ability, they can go, "I don't think you did, because you told me you were the pixie. I didn't believe you, so I told the storyteller he said that."
Yes. Should we talk about... I know you don't have a fighting the pixie section, but should we talk a little bit about fighting evil players bluffing as pixie as Oz on the good team? Because there are strategies you can use to make sure to test if the pixie got your role. Stuff like not coming out as your role when you're dead immediately, seeing if they'll out it first.
Yeah.
It's similar stuff to other... Sorry.
I think we can talk about how the group, as the group of the good team, can play with the pixie.
Exactly. And you can also, if you think someone is your pixie, if they're hard claiming your role and pushing on you, but sort of maybe giving you pixie vibes, you should try world building with them in private in a conversation. Because if they're good, they should secretly be trusting your info more than their info and build similar worlds to what you're building. Even like unconsciously. So you might be going to the same conclusions. And if they're evil, they will be building worlds they want to be building, and it won't necessarily match the conclusions you're drawing from your own information. So just see, like, if you're naturally being led to the same place, it's more likely they are the pixie. But that might not work for you. Like, that's a subtle sort of way of figuring it out. But you shouldn't tell them what you are when you die. You should have them have to figure it out.
Yeah, it's the same as Undertaker and Cannibal best practice, right? Don't out your role if you think there's a thing that sees dead rolls at night. It's kind of similar to that.
Mm-hmm. And it also just gives you incentive to lie as a good player, even more,
right?
Because maybe you'll get an evil player who backs into being your pixie when you are not that role. And that's the most fun thing that you can do to an evil player when you're on the good team, is just claim, like, you know, on this script, you could be claiming fisherman when you're the slayer or whatever, slayer when you're the fisherman, and see if you can get an evil player bluffing pixie to come out as your pixie when that's not your role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why don't we talk about storytelling a little bit? Usually we get into, at this point, talking about what you look for on a script with pixie on it when you're looking for a pixie in the game. I think Pixie is very, very versatile, and it can go with a lot of things. So maybe like some of the like things that we think it works best with, and maybe a couple of things that maybe you should be cautious about pairing it with as well, would be a good way to approach this one.
I mean, I do think it's a super flexible character. It has no jinxes. It has no, I would say, strictly bad interactions. It does have a handful of janky interactions. I would say Vortox is one of the jankier ones.
We should talk about that.
Yes. Vortox can work on a script with Pixie, but yeah, basically the Pixie will be shown an out-of-play townsfolk because their information is always wrong. But the storyteller should still put a reminder token down on a player's token, a townsfolk token. And when the player with the reminder token dies, if the Pixie was mad about the role they saw, the Pixie gains the ability that they saw.
Correct.
So,
Yeah.
they can gain an out-of-play ability when a random seeming to them townsfolk dies.
And I think like the thing that makes it a little tricky with Vortox is the natural inclination is going to be, okay, I'll just show the Pixie one of the bluffs and put the mad token on one of the evil players.
You have to put it on townsfolk. Don't you?
I don't
Maybe
think.
for Vortox. Or poisoned you don't, maybe for Vortox you do.
Maybe for Vortox, you still have to put it on a townsfolk.
I think you can put it on anywhere
I think you
because
can
it's
put it on
still false.
anyone because it's false
I know for
information.
poison you
You
can.
might be right. You might be right.
But regardless,
This is
it's
a
going
great
on.
rules
It's
question.
a great rules question that we should figure out the answer to. It what the important part I think that Emma was trying to point out though is that the inclination is that you show a bluff, but maybe that's not the best choice.
Well, yeah, because like if you show the bluff and the evil team doesn't distribute the bluffs correctly, according to their lack of knowledge of how you've put the where you put what you've told the Pixie and where you put the token, okay, then suddenly one minion dies. The demon is claiming this role. The Pixie gains the ability,
It can all fall apart
and
real quick.
it really falls apart. You want
it can
stuff
also
like.
fall apart if the good team knows it's a Vortox game. They just will be like, oh, the Pixie saw a role, it's out of play. So we
Kill
kill
that
whoever
person.
else is claiming that role. Like, that's another easy way for it to fall apart.
Like, so you have to be really careful about how you do the misinformation for Pixie on a Vortox game. I mean, it has to be false in all of its parts. Which is for like poisoning, it's a little easier because like you can put the poison a drunk or poison pixie on the person who actually has that role and then give them bad information once they gain the ability. You can do stuff like that, which makes it believable. But Vortox, you don't really have those tricks.
Yeah, there are a few intricacies to running the Pixie as a storyteller, but it's all like very reminder token heavy. Like when you have to pick a player that the Pixie is mad as, you show them that character. If the Pixie is drunk or poisoned when they get their info, you can show them anything, but you still put a reminder token down somewhere else, which is rare for an ability to be poisoned and still get a reminder token that must be placed, but it does happen. If the Pixie is drunk or poisoned when they should get their ability, you are allowed to give them nothing, or you're allowed to pretend they have the ability, but as soon as they sober up, they'll stop having that ability. Just like sort of think philosopher.
Yeah, it has the Nodashi, the moving Nodashi philosopher problem, where if the poison moves off of it, all of a sudden their ability that they thought they had just stops.
So I guess Nodashi would be a little bit of a be careful here if you have ways for your Odashi to move. It can be real awkward if, like, the Pixie stops waking up because the Odashi has moved away and I'm not allowed to anymore.
Yeah. I think it also it, this Boozling is a good example, and to be honest, I love this combination. I love the combination of Pixie, Philo, and Cannibal. It's near and dear to my
But
heart,
it is dangerous.
but it's very dangerous, and it's especially dangerous with specific characters, and one of them is on here, and that's Slayer. The good team getting multiple actual Slayer shots is very, very powerful for the good team. So in on this script, if you're putting Pixie and Philo and Cannibal in the bag, probably don't show the Pixie the Slayer You
Or
probably
put
don't
a
want.
Scarlet Woman in the bag.
Yeah, I mean, you put a Scarlet Woman in the bag, but I don't even know if that's gonna help at that point. Like, you could get like 4 or 5 flare shots, you know. So just be cautious about, you know, about what you're putting the pixie madness on. Sometimes it can be on the script together, and it's perfectly fine to put the pixie madness on most tokens. But just be cautious about if you do have that character recursion issue. Maybe think about what would be a good thing to get an extra one of if there's already extras going into play. You know, 4 fishermen is probably okay. 4 slayers is probably not as okay.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think most townsfolk are fine to fixie duplicate. There's very few where I'd be strictly concerned about the problems of fixie duplicating that character.
Cult
I
leader,
think in
maybe.
general, like pixie, you should be careful when putting on a script with other role duplicators, like Philo and Cannibal. But it totally can work. There's sort of three like checks you should make with Pixie, like the script, and then when you're putting characters into the bag, and then when you're assigning the Pixie who they need to be mad as. And like you can make a bad script with Pixie on it, although it's hard. You can make a bad bag, and then as long as you assign the madness correctly, you can probably save the Pixie. So it's like a really flexible character in terms of script and bag building, because if you're a good storyteller, you could save the balance of the game by assigning your pixie madness correctly later. But if you have a great script and a great bag, you get more flexible options in assigning your madness, then it can go anywhere. So there's like either way you have to have something, you have to use your judgment somewhere, but pixie lets you make some bad choices.
Speaking of bag building, why don't we go ahead and build a bag? That seems like
Yeah.
something we could do.
Our example script here
Oh,
for
that's so
Pixie
exciting.
is Boozling by Law, which is the original winner of the original Blood on the Clock Tower World Cup. So it's a good historied script that's been around a while.
I suppose
So
we'll have
how
a
do we
pixie.
back?
I suppose we'll have a pixie on it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about
You
bag
can also
building for
give
the
it as a
pixie.
bluff.
You can give it as a
Yeah.
bluff, but for this case, we'll.
We'll talk about bag building for the pixie, and then maybe we'll take a pixie out and say that one's a bluff instead. I think like the one thing on this script is with pixie in play, you probably don't want both philosopher and cannibal because it might just be too hard to create something interesting that doesn't risk overduplication.
Yeah, there's a lot of
Agreed.
powerful roles here. And also, there's a few roles here that just don't particularly love being duplicated. So I think that's probably fair.
But it's fine to have some of the roles that don't want to be duplicated in play. Like, you're probably not going to have a pixie sate. You might, but the pixie is probably. Let me think of how I want to say this. Pixie sage is going to be real tricky if their two sage brings them off. Because at that point, the evil team is just in a real bad spot. One sage is bad enough.
Although, if you're the demon and you kill the person who has been claiming sage all game and seems like the pixie, that's a choice you made too.
I think I like Balloonist to add here as well. Balloonist pings are should be relatively solvable at some point in the game, certainly not right when you get them. And a pixie makes a really compelling townsfolk to put into a balloonist ping that isn't necessarily going to be clearly a townsfolk, that might be claiming a townsfolk role, but might not be trusted, might look like a minion. And I think that makes an interesting balloonist ping.
100%. Man, my trouble here is everything goes with Pixie and I'll build any bag.
I'm gonna just fix some townsfolk
I
then.
feel
I
like
think we can talk with.
we're making some really deep decisions here
We're not.
because we're digging to the second layer because on the first layer it's all fine.
I think that's right. I think on the first layer, all of this is fine. So I'll just pick some townsfolk, an outsider, a drunk.
Yeah, I mean, Saranovis would be my pick of a minion to go with Pixie because
Yeah, that seems fine. We
they're
got all our
best
outsider
friends.
friends. We got all of our outsider friends here. It's great. Or our madness friends, rather.
I guess I have to drunk the huntsman
because
I forgot to put it
the
to
outsider
himself.
Count,
you do
right?
have to drunk that huntsman, yeah. Yeah. Drunksman is always fun.
I forgot that I put the huntsman in because I wanted to talk about it with Fixie.
Making the huntsman an outsider like it's supposed to be.
There you go.
But I guess we just won't talk about it with Fixie. Well, we still will, but we'll get to it later. In a grim like this, what would you think about before deciding who you were going to put the Pixie Map token on?
Well, Good's got some powerful ongoing info roles here. Like, High Priestess, Savant, Balloonist, Fortune Teller are sort of this script's heavy hitters. So Good's already doing pretty well, despite... And, like, Huntsman wasn't going to help out at much anyway, so making them the drunk isn't hurting the Good team that much. So... if I was giving general info, I'd think Good was winning, which means we can give the Pixie a slightly more difficult game, slightly less helpful role for the Good team. That's my first thought.
Yeah,
I
was about
probably
to say...
the hardest thing for the Pixie to do is Savant information, right?
I was about to say Savant, because really what we want is we want to help the evil team here, and the evil team doesn't have any droisoning. And the fortune teller is going to be quite strong. The balloonist is going to be, you know, it's going to, there's not that many places where we can put, you know, balloonist pings that are going to be suspicious. Maybe socially there will be. But from my perspective, having two people giving out savant information is a lot of, it's a way to do what I call attacking the processing power of the good team, where you're putting additional things that the good team has to think about into play. Because they might be trying to parse savant statements, but now they got two sets of savant statements and they have to parse them to try to figure out, is this player Saramad? Is this player an evil player bluffing savant? There's going to be a Saranovus madness out there as well that's going to be creating other stuff, right? So I think giving some information overload is a way of disrupting is a way of using the sort of drawback of the Pixie being into double claim while also giving them a chance to get some really powerful information. And if the Savant gets taken out of this game, that's probably something that the good team's still going to want to try to help solve the game.
I think this is a great choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is the best choice on the game for the reasons we've said.
And you can also, like, judge by your players. Like, we don't have any players here, but if the Pixie was a player like me who would go and make up Savant info and enjoy that, that's even more reason to give them the Savant token. If you knew this Pixie, if they got Savant, would just come out with it and be like, I'm not coming up with 5 days of Savant info, I'm a Pixie, saw Savant, maybe you show the Balloonist or something instead. But most, like, then you just have to know your players here too. But Savant is a great choice, for all the reasons. And, like, this setup almost feels a little SNV-like. You've got a lot of strong info on the good team, and the evil team has a Saranovus. So what's the Saranovus? This's job is to give info overload. So you can also help the evil team by leaning into that info overload. That's their only option, really, to defend themselves here.
I have some other sort of specific Fixie questions on this grim and maybe some minor changes to this grim. So first one. If you do this, do you send the High Priestess straight to their Pixie?
No.
Not necessarily.
No, it's not the most interesting conversation for the High Priestess to have. The conversation is going to go like this. Hey, what are you? Hey, I'm the High Priestess. I saw you. What are you? No, I'm the High Priestess. What are you? Okay, great. This is a great conversation for both of us to have had. That is not a super useful conversation.
I think it's pretty powerful for the High Priestess. It's kind of a jerk move to the Pixie, I think.
Yeah. I think it basically means that it's very hard for them to get their role.
It could be the player that the High Priestess should talk to the most. On this grimoire, it probably isn't the player the High Priestess should talk to the most. But there might be a situation where it's the most useful thing for the High Priestess is to learn that they have a Pixie. That I could conceive of that situation on this grimoire. Right now, I'm probably sending the High Priestess to... I don't know. It depends on the info the Balloonist and Fortune Teller get, obviously. But it could. I might send the High Priestess to the Scarlet Woman right away on this grimoire.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might send them to a minion.
I might send them to a minion. I might send them to whoever's Saramad. Is this the hey, watch out for this later sort of thing?
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't send them to the pixie unless things were very weird.
Yeah. Maybe help out that sage was also another thing you could do. Give that sage a friend because they're going to look suspicious.
You can
later.
Always show the sage or the mutant and be like, this player needs your help.
But the point I wanted to get across was putting the pixie man token on the high priestess and then sending the high priestess to the pixie is cute. I'm not sure it's the most interesting thing for either the pixie or the high priestess.
I think it's going to raise the bar of what I'm going to require out of madness substantially. And that's me deciding to tell them I'm raising the bar for what's going to be required for madness, which isn't great.
If you do that every time, you're running high priestess wrong.
Yeah.
Because that's not the player they should talk to every time.
Yep. And on this scrim, I'm not sure. I'm certain that it's not.
Yeah. There's too much other interesting stuff happening for the High Priestess to learn about here.
Oh, no, a damsel.
No, the fortune teller.
Do you think like this is ever a worthwhile pixie madness? Do you think the Huntsman is ever a worthwhile pixie madness? Is that a powerful enough ability to duplicate? Or is it too weak to duplicate? Or is a double Huntsman just the right amount of Huntsman?
I'm gonna take what I think is probably going to be a less popular position and say I actually don't think that's a bad thing for the pixie to duplicate. And the reason is because of my perspective on Huntsman, which we'll talk about at some point, in some episode. But broadly, I think the Huntsman's job is to know that a damsel is in play. Finding and picking the damsel is almost secondary to that. And so if the pixie knows that a huntsman's in play, that's two people doing the job of knowing that there's a damsel in play. And I think there is a huge advantage to the town for that, because it's two people who are now committed to not just saying I'm the damsel every day, not just saying that they've come out as the damsel, but it's two people who are working to make themselves look like they might not be the townsfolk that they're claiming to be. I love a bad bluff. I enjoy bluffing badly and looking like I'm bluffing badly and making evil players think I might be the damsel because I'm a good player who has backed out of three different who's backed out of three different claims and just keeps bluffing badly in some different claim. I think there's a lot of value in it, and I don't think it's a wrong choice.
I think it's a weaker choice. But if there's a strong Grimm for the good team, it's a valid choice. Like, it still is here. This is still a strong setup for good. And so it's still a valid choice in this grimoire. It's a weaker choice because the pixie, again, they might not get the huntsman ability and they might not even find the damsel. But they're being a second huntsman in terms of knowing the damsels in the game. Personally, I might claim to be the Huntsman, because the Huntsman probably isn't going to do that, and maybe we'll get two hits at the damsel. So you might be able to claim Huntsman in a way that convinces people you're the Huntsman, but also that you might be the damsel. And the storyteller might still give you the Huntsman ability if you pull that off.
It also does enforce the Huntsman, if either of you is actually claiming Huntsman, when the other one comes out as the, when the other one dies and comes out as the damsel, having a huntsman in play will make that look more realistic, right? Like having the other one claiming huntsman publicly is going to help make that look more realistic.
That's true. You don't claim pixie and friend. You claim huntsman and damsel together.
Yeah, you claim huntsman and damsel together. Yeah.
Yeah, whichever one of you dies first is the damsel, and whichever one of you dies second is the huntsman.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think that's a bad choice. I don't think that's unreasonable. You have to think about Huntsman a little bit differently for Pixie to be interesting there, but I do think it has a lot of value.
And it's hard to find a wrong choice for Pixie.
That's true.
It is hard to find a wrong choice for Pixie.
They do exist, though.
What are some wrong choices?
Atheist?
Yep.
Yep.
Yep, no,
magician?
Magician? I have done Pixie Magician. And I think it was fine.
It just tells the good team a magician is in play.
It needs the right bag, and it needs the right script.
But there was also a poppy grower, so there was also a chance the pixie would get told to the minions and demons as a minion or demon.
Again, speaking of poppy grower is a difficult pixie as well, but possible.
These are the pixie and the magician. They're not no choices. They're not like hard no's. They're just like you need a very experienced group of players, and you need the right.
You
script.
Need the right bag. You need the right script.
And you need the right bag. Yeah.
I have a few more for you. Village idiot is just
strong. Don't do that.
Bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
When you're the pixie village idiot,
too strong.
And if you're the storyteller, be very careful with pixie amnesiac. Either give them the exact same ability the amnesiac had. So that there's continuity in guessing, or give them an ability that they can bingo right away.
Yeah.
Because they might only have one day with their ability. So that's just a be careful choice.
I would agree with all that.
I don't love it with cult leader. I think it doesn't do the thing that cult leader, it really hampers the thing that cult leader wants to do, which is get almost everyone to vote on their cults. And I think having another person, people are naturally going to claim cult leader anyway, but like having another person trying to get that effect to go off is going to be a problem.
And I think the evil shifting. The risk of two townsfolk turning themselves evil is probably a little bit more than you want to bear as a storyteller.
Yeah.
Another choice to be careful of, but to do sometimes because it's really funny, is a pixie princess. But you just have to be careful of your group because the princess really wants to get off their nomination on the first day. And if the pixie convinces everyone more, you've just used up the princess's whole ability.
Yeah. In that vein, I also think pixie juggler, it can work. Make sure you're giving it to someone who's going to enjoy needing to juggle every day.
Every day.
And having a convincing reason for why they're juggling every day because they don't know when the juggler died.
Yeah, that's a little awkward.
But it's hilarious.
It's hilarious, but very awkward.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just, and it's a combination that I love and I've done many times, but pixie seeing the Philo, just be cautious about what else is on the script. Because the Philo...
Yeah, you've got two duplicators.
Two duplicators.
So now... You're just increasing the variance of your game. When you have stuff like Cannibal and Philosopher... where good players can gain abilities that you don't know what they're going to get, it's just increasing the variance. It could be that they get only bad stuff, or they could get really strong game-breaking stuff. So you need to have other tools in your bag that let you control the game based on what happens, like a poisoner or something else that lets you tip the scales if you've got a lot of like stuff like Cannibal or Philosopher.
I will also say I was an evil pixie philosopher cannibal once, and it allowed me to break the game.
It was wild.
Or people could just anticipate that that's a possibility now that it's happened.
Like, the double layers of secret drunkening from a pixie philosopher cannibal was a little much.
It was a little untrackable.
All right.
Yeah.
Do we have any sort of final thoughts about the pixie? Other than it being perfect, because we do know it's perfect.
It's good.
It's the best thing ever. I'm just like scrolling through the things I wrote down and see if we got them all.
I'll just mention one thing while you're looking, Koha.
Yeah.
I do want to just highlight that commentary that Stephen Medway put out one more time. He makes an analogy.
We'll drop it in the notes.
We'll drop it in the notes too. He makes an analogy between the pixie and the deviant, which I think is very helpful in thinking about pixie madness, where he says, if you treat judging madness like judging humor for the pixie specifically, it will kind of help you think about it, right? You know, if the deviant gets a couple of laughs on the first day, you probably say they were funny. You know, if they got some laughs at the end of the day, they probably were funny. If they got some laughs at the start of the day and then brought the mood down, maybe they aren't funny. You know, like it depends on the whole kind of flow of the game. And I think if you think about the pixie madness in that way, it might help you a lot. I actually think it's a very good analogy. And we'll share that article in the notes.
I also really like this line from the article. Another player says the pixie is probably the pixie, and the pixie player just winks and stays silent. It's responded to by, I would almost certainly judge that that player was not mad. I don't think you should put the almost there. If your response to the accused me the pixie is to give a big wink and then shut up, you've not done madness.
Yeah, there's some good examples in here. The last thing that I have on this, on my notes that I didn't mention, is a general Magnus note. When you're the storyteller and you feel like your pixie isn't trying hard enough, a great way for them to not be mad at you at the end of the game is for you to walk up to them and be like, I know you. You can do better. Do better, or you're not getting the ability.
And this
to give
goes both
warnings.
Ways.
Give warnings, offer advice. If you're the pixie, check in with your storyteller. Exactly. They'll be less upset. Your players will be less upset with you if you show them you're trying to help them, and that, you know, and you're giving them warnings. You don't always have to do that, but it's a trust-building tool if you haven't played with your group for a long time.
Especially with newer players. Especially with less experienced players.
But
you know?
Even with experienced players, talk to your storyteller. I beg you. There's a reason it's Rule 3. We don't talk about it as much as Rule 4, but it is there. It's important. And, like, normalize going to your storyteller and asking, hey, if I'm doing this, do you think that'll be enough? For the pixie,
yes.
Generally for madness, and for so many other reasons.
Yeah. Again, pixie being a great learning tool for everything.
It's so perfect. Yeah. It's such a cute little teddy bear. Oh, I love pixie.
Well, I think we've done the pixie really, I think we've done a really great job talking about the pixie here. I think we've kind of covered everything. Before we kind of wrap up, Kohav,
yes.
You know, we like to give all our guests some space to shill for their projects and let everybody know what they've got going on and where you can be found. So please tell us what you've got going on. Nothing big, right? No major projects or anything that you're working on?
You can see me on some streams sometimes. I play Blood on the Clock Tower online. But I also play Blood on the Clock Tower in person in the New York City area. So you can, if you're there, reach out and I can tell you where to play Blood on the Clock Tower here. I also help run Final 3 Con, which is a board game convention in the Washington, D.C. area in Rockville, Maryland. It used to be called Clock Tower Con. Emma and Milk are going to be there. I'll be there, too. I am the communications person for the entire convention. So if you have a question about anything about the convention, feel free to DM me on Discord. That is my role. You can also email us at hello@final3con.com and I will answer your question. It will be me, probably, unless you have a super complicated question in which you might get an email from Marshall instead. So what is Final 3 Con? You play Blood on the Clock Tower, also other social deduction games. You meet all the friends, all the faces that you know online. They'll be there, all the cool people. Not just Milk and Emma, but a bunch of awesome content creators and special guests. We've got even more special guests from ex-Survivor players coming this year. So they'll be... I wonder why the people who live in Maryland are coming to the convention in Maryland. But if you ever wanted to meet cool people who played Survivor, this is a great place to do that. And also to play them in Blood on the Clock Tower and get a taste of how those games are similar and different. There's a mega game. There's a Blood on the Clock Tower social deduction themed escape room called Puzzle Box, which just keeps getting rave reviews year after year.
It's great.
I failed it last year, so I'm coming back with a vengeance this year. I could talk about Final 3 Con for forever. Please, here's what I'll say. If you want to know updates from Final 3 Con, please put us on your safe senders list, hello@final3con.com, so you get all our emails. If you're not getting our emails, sign up for our mailing list. It's all at our link tree, which Emma and Milk will put in the show notes for this episode. You can follow us on Facebook, Blue Sky, and Instagram, and join the Final 3 Con Discord server, links for all of that are in our link tree, so you only need to find one link.
It's in the doobly-doo.
Yay! Come play Clock Tower!
Final
Yay!
Three Con is a highlight of my year, every year it's existed, which is now we're going on year four.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
All right. Well, with that, I think we're ready to wrap it up. So, Milk?
Thank you very much, Kohav, and everybody, may your scenarios stay grim. We'll see. All right.